20th century British philosopher Bertrand Russell had a very famous essay, Why I Am Not a Christian. In that famous essay, Russell quoted the story that Jesus cursed the fig tree. According to Russell, Jesus was not kind, was not gentle, was not wise. That's become one of the reasons Russell refused Christian faith. So as we come to this story that Jesus cursed the fig tree, let's try to understand what is happening in this story. If you remember, before this event happened was another very important event, which is Jesus' triumph entry into the holy city, Jerusalem. In earlier of this chapter, Mark 11, we see Jesus with his disciples enter into the holy city. He was sitting on a donkey, as the Old Testament prophet prophesied, this Messiah, this king, this anointed king of Israel will come on a donkey. And those people saw Jesus and saw what Jesus performed, the miracles, signs. They cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord. We read in chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with his disciples. So he didn't stay. He didn't spend the night in that holy city. The city belonged to him because he is the king. He didn't even stay in the temple. That temple is his because he is the Lord. Why? Even though those people cry out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus knew, not long ago, Jesus knew, soon they will cry out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus understand those people, they didn't truly understand what is happening there when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Jesus understand that those people haven't truly been saved and opened their hearts to accept Jesus as their Savior, Messiah. And then, on the next day, in the morning, we read this paragraph, the story. Jesus went with his disciples back to Jerusalem. On the way, he was hungry, and he saw from afar a fig tree full of leaves, and he expect maybe he would find some figs. So he went, tried to find, but nothing there. Then he spoke. We read the account recorded both by both Mark and Matthew. In Matthew's account, Jesus said, may no fruit ever come from you again. And in Mark's, we read earlier, Jesus said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. No more fruits. No more people eating from you. And then in Matthew's gospel, we read the fig tree withered at once. With the same story, the evangelist Mark record something else in between, which is Jesus cleansed the temple. And then we read in Mark chapter 11, verse 20, when they passed by in the morning next day, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Peter remembered what Jesus said and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. So the story is very simple. a shocking picture before us. This is why Russell, like many other philosophers, unbelievers couldn't believe in Jesus. When we come to this story, I'd like to share with you three questions we can ask from this text. First question is, why would Jesus curse the fig tree? And then second question, which is what the disciples asked in Matthew's gospel, they asked Jesus, how did the fig tree wither at once? And then a third question is, why Jesus responds to his disciples talking about faith and prayer, something like irrelevant, doesn't relate it to what the disciples asked. Three questions I'd like to go through with you. The first question is a major question. Why would Jesus curse this fig tree? If we consider from human perspective, if we think Jesus is just a human like us, we may say, oh, Jesus was really hungry that morning. And he really desired to have something to satisfy himself. And also, he saw the tree with leaves afar. And he has a great expectation. There must be some fruit there. And then, to his disappointment, there was nothing. No, even one fig on the tree. And then we would imagine maybe he just like us. Sometimes, maybe when we were really tired, really hungry, we lose our temper. And Jesus said to the tree, may no fruit ever come from you again. But we won't think that way, because the scripture is very clear. Jesus, in every respect, was also tempted as us, but without sin. He is perfect. He is perfect human, fully human. He was tempted just like us. We are often tempted by many things, but he is sinless. Without sin, without reproach, why would Jesus curse this tree? People like Russell won't understand. They rebuke Jesus. They criticize Jesus. They said, how come Jesus curse a tree like this? There's no fruit on the tree. Maybe we can find a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is, we may say, the tree is by the wayside roadside. Many people pass through there. And many people may, like Jesus, want to find, want to eat from the tree. And basically, the fig just run out. Or maybe we can imagine a few days ago, there was a storm. And the wind shake off all the figs. But interestingly, we read in Mark's gospel. Mark in verse 13 said, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for the figs. Mark gave the reason why there's no fruits, no figs. Basically because it was not the season for figs. It was not a season. How can you expect there were fruits? And we can meditate or try to study about the fig tree, about the climate there in Palestine. Maybe we think Palestine is not like Toronto, Canada. It's cold. Around this time, 1 week before Jesus was crucified, it's almost getting warm. Maybe the tree is supposed to have some fruit. But I believe here is excellent evidence or example that we can believe the scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We know we have human authors of all these books. Mark is the author, human author of this book. But imagine if you are the author. Will you add that reason there? Imagine if you record what happened there, Jesus cursed the tree, and you put this reason there. Jesus couldn't find fruit figs because it is not the season. What do you mean, Mark? You mean Jesus is wrong? This is an excellent point here. We can see the Holy Scripture is not just written by human authors, but rather by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. There is a purpose there. Because humanly speaking, at least me, I won't put that. Get people become more confused of this story. And Mark said, for, because it was not the season for the figs. And he is perfectly right. It was not the season. The tree was not able to bear fruits there. So the tree is innocent. And then you will see why Jesus cursed it. The tree is not like you and I, are human beings, moral beings, knowing what is right or wrong. It is just a tree, a plant. And it was not a season for it to yield fruits. It's innocent. And then we would ask why Jesus cursed it. This is not simply Jesus was disappointed and said something. Oh, what a disappointing it is to find nothing on this tree. I expect some fruits. Or maybe Jesus just blamed the tree. But you see here, clearly, Mark used the word curse later when Peter talked to Jesus. He said, see, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed. Cursed. And Jesus is very clear. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. Or may no fruit ever come from you again. This is very serious. Is Jesus wrong? Did Jesus do something inappropriately? Of course not. He is the Lord. He is the owner of the whole universe. He has authority and sovereignty to do anything he wants, just like a farmer. He can plant crops or trees, whatever the farmers like. If you own anything like a plant or flower, you certainly have authority to do whatever you like to do. As Apostle Paul said in Romans, you see, God is the potter. We are the clay. He is free. He is sovereign. He can do whatever he pleased to do. Nothing wrong with Jesus to curse the fig tree. And then how we understand this? If the fig tree is innocent, doesn't deserve such a punishment. If Jesus is authority, is sovereign, he can do whatever he can do. Why we feel so struggled like the philosopher Russell? Because we think Jesus supposed to be a gentle savior, supposed to be gracious, merciful. As we read in the Bible, he was described as the one, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. Why would Jesus curse a tree like this? Why? We need to understand the context then. As I said, it's very interesting. Mark, the author, put that reason there. Because that awokes or arose, like invokes us to think. You need to understand that background. Jesus was entering into this holy city one day before. And those people say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus knew these people didn't truly understand. These people will hand himself into the Romans and crucify him onto the cross. Jesus knew all those things. And then the picture of a cursed fig tree is something we need to see in the bigger picture. Because even after these events, we read when Jesus entered into the holy city, what he faced, those religious leaders questioning his authority. Who gave you authority? Where is the authority comes from? And then Jesus spoke a parable, the parable of tenants. You remember that parable about a vineyard? The owner built this vineyard, expect his tenants will give the crops or fruits, but when he sent again and again his servants, they refused to give the fruits. Eventually, the owner sent his own son, expecting they will respect the son. What this evil tenants did, they pushed him out and killed him. What do you think, Jesus said, what do you expect the owner will do? What do you expect things will happen to these evil tenants? The scripture, even in the Gospel of Luke, we have this parable of fig tree. And also even in the Old Testament, we have the similar parable in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, the song of the vineyard. Similar events. This man made this vineyard and expect good fruits, grapes. But what he found? Wild grapes. How disappointed, how disappointing it is. Jesus not simply considering that tree there. Jesus was concerned the holy city, Jerusalem. Jesus was concerned these people. Jesus was concerning sinners of this world. In the book of Isaiah, we see there, oft the author talk about this parable of vineyard. He concluded like this, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. He looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Jesus, as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the King of the Holy City, as the Lord of the Holy Temple, when he came to this place, what did he find? Did he find any good stuff there in Jerusalem? Did he find any good fruits among the religious leaders? No. Nothing. Nothing. If that innocent fig tree didn't deserve a curse like that, do you think you and I, or the people of Israel, will escape from that curse? Do you believe that we are excusable? Because this is not the season for us. We can see that's not season for plant. Can you say when Jesus come to you, sorry, Lord, this is not a season for me to bear fruits. We have no excuse. We have no excuse at all. If that tree, an innocent tree, a tree without moral understanding cursed by Almighty God, we as sinners, we are cursed because of sin. Because we all fall short of the glory of Almighty God. In that picture, in that story, we need to see ourselves, a sinner, hopeless, without any excuse. And then the second question. When the Lord cursed the tree withered immediately at once. And they were marveled. And they asked, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? How did this happen? So quick, so soon, and so deep, even to the roots, totally. Jesus didn't say that this tree should wither. Jesus only said, but no fruit ever come from you again. No one ever eat fruit from you again. It seems there's a distance between what Jesus said and the dried up. The disciples was marveled. Maybe they thought, yes, we believe what Jesus said. You see, this tree has some problem. That's why Jesus couldn't find any fruits from it. It seems this tree is sick. So as Jesus said, eventually it will not yield any fruits. No one will eat from it. But it will take time. It will take a few days, a few weeks. But to their shocking is that the tree, as Jesus spoke that word, withered at once, withered immediately. They were amazed, marveled, and their question is not that the trees withered, but rather the tree withered so soon, so fast, at once. They were amazed when Jesus spoke a word, and then the effect is so soon, so evident, so great. That is something shocking to the disciples. You see, the disciples witnessed a lot of other miracles Jesus performed, right? Jesus performed miracles of healing. Jesus performed miracles of casting out of demons, a legion of demons. Jesus performed the miracle of raising up Lazarus from the grave. And Jesus performed the miracle, come down the sea. They never ask a question like this. When Jesus cleansed the leper, they said, wow, why the leper was cleansed so quickly? They were not amazed for the speed. They were amazed that the leper was cleansed. When the Lord calmed down the storm, the sea, they didn't say, oh, we expect the sea may gradually come down. They said, wow, even the sea listened to this man. But here in this event, when Jesus spoke this word, and the tree withered at once. They were marveled, amazed, asking, why would this tree wither so quickly? That is their question. Actually, one translation, the King James Version, translated as a, not a question, but exclamation. Both true. It's either a question, but also like a surprise. In Mark's account, Peter said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has already withered even to the roots, has already so deep, so serious. What happened is really surprised the disciples. Why would they be surprised? Jesus' answer said, have faith in God. If you have faith like me, you would be able to do the same thing even greater. But the question is still there. These people marveled, why they were marveled upon this rather than all the miracles. Because they suppose, because in their mind, they are like us. They thought, okay, this tree was cursed. But you see, the tree still have leaves. The tree is still very straight and tall. It might take time for the tree to wither, to dry up. When the Lord cursed the tree, it takes time. That's what they thought. But didn't take time. Didn't take time. You remember when God spoke to Adam and Eve, said, that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat from it. Because in the day you eat it, you will surely die. In the day you eat it, in the moment you eat it, you will die. We take this so lightly. We take our sin lightly. We take God's curse lightly. We do not truly believe what the scripture said, the wages of sin is death. We only thought, okay, I am not perfect. I'm a sinner. I often commit a sin. Even I already become a believer. I already sin sometimes, but compared to others, I'm still good. Morally speaking, humanly speaking, I'm still good. Is there any good in us? If the wages of sin is death, if as God spoke to Adam and Eve, the day you eat from it, you will surely die, means totally separate from living God, spiritually died. Is there still something good in us? Apostle Paul said in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 and 5, you were died in trespasses and sin. You were died before you become Christian. You were died. Did you know that? Or you said, I was relatively good. I didn't kill anyone. I never jealousy. I never steal. I'm morally good. That's probably why God chose me. You see, in this story, in this picture, in the whole Bible, what do we see? The wages of sin is death. And we are died as sinners. In sin, we are totally cut off from God. We are like this cursed tree, dried up, withered, not just the leaves, branches, even the roots. Do you realize that? Even your roots, the deepest part of your heart, is dead. You and I, before we come to faith in Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We are like the dry bones in that vision prophet Ezekiel saw. He saw the valley full of bones, dry bones, and he described the dry bones, said, very dry, totally died. That is the situation of sinners. That is the situation or status of sinners. The status of human being in sin is died spiritually. We are cut off from God. A dead people, can you argue with him? A dead people, can you use your eloquence to persuade him? No way. No way. When we go out to share the gospel, do you think because you are eloquent, you have provided enough evidence, that's why they come to faith in Christ? No, they are dead. Dead people have no thought. Dead people have no sight. Dead people have no sense. Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt," or rather in Mark's gospel, he answered them, "Have faith in God." And then he talked about moving mountains, the faith of moving mountains. He talked about when we pray, we believe whatever we ask, we believe, and it will be given to us. The question is, it seems Jesus' answer or Jesus' response are out of context. He cursed the tree withered, and the disciple marveled, and they talked to Jesus, point to Jesus, the withered tree. And then Jesus talked about faith, prayer. We thought, why that? It seems out of context. You know, if you ever enter into the seminary, study that course, hermeneutics, we have a saying, context is king. Context is so important. What is the context here? The context there is a fruitless fig tree, a cursed tree, a withered fig tree. It's all pointing to Jerusalem, the people of Israel, pointing to this miracle, supposed to pointing to the state of sinners. We are in sin. We are fruitless. We are cursed. We are dead. We are withered. If we would truly see ourselves in that shocking picture, we would not ask questions like the disciples asked. We should ask one most important question. If then, how can I be saved? If I am like that withered, cursed fig tree, how can I be saved? Like those people heard Peter and apostles preaching in Acts chapter 2, those people feel hearts was pierced, and they ask, how can they be saved? How can they be saved if I am withered, I'm dyed, I'm terribly sinned against God? I deserve that punishment. How can I be saved? And then Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe in God. You see all these unbelievers, like the marvelous, brilliant philosophers, they could not believe God is a merciful, gracious God. But you should believe in God. Have faith in God. It is impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for God. Earlier in chapter 10 of Mark, you read that story of a rich young man who won't try to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, sell all your properties and give it to the poor. That rich young man suddenly left. And then Jesus spoke to his disciples. Jesus said, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And then the disciples' response is, they were exceedingly astonished and said to Jesus, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? To enter into the kingdom. It's like a camel to enter, to go through the eye of a needle. If that is the case, who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are impossible. That's why Jesus responded to them, have faith in God. You see, as disciples, we read this kind of story. We think about ourselves. Oh, maybe Jesus just teach us how to pray. Because often we found we try to believe, but we didn't get what we want. But what you want most? To be saved. To have eternal life. But you see, it is impossible for you. It is impossible for human beings. Only God can do that. Jesus said, have faith in God. Russell, like many other unbelievers, couldn't believe in God. Adam couldn't believe in God when God said, do not eat that fruit from that tree because you will surely die. He didn't believe. And nowadays, people don't believe. They don't believe what God said in the scripture. They don't believe God is a righteous God, but God is also a merciful, gracious, loving God. People don't believe that and show us, you see the fig tree? Is this a merciful Lord? All those philosophers are smart, intelligent, brilliant, like Russell. Why would they only look at that cursed withered tree, but overlook the other tree on the Calvary, the other tree where our Lord Jesus was crucified? Why would they blind their eyes and why don't they see, only see this fig tree? God loves the world. He gave us his only begotten Son to become sin for us. God make he who knew no sin become sin like us and become a curse on that cross, wearing that crown of thorns, representing all the curse which we deserve. But you see, the unbelievers, they do not see that tree. They can't see the curse there fall upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They deny him. They pierced him as us before we believe. But when we pierced his side, there was water and blood flow from his side. That water and blood is to cleanse us, is to give us a new life. He was cursed on that tree, not because of himself, but because of us. He was cursed for us. He died there for us. He dried up, withered there. Eternal God. Can you imagine our Lord? Pierced, died, cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did all that for you and for me. A withered, cursed, fruitless, evil, undeserving sinner. That we may have eternal life in him. That we may in him receive all the blessings from God. God is a God of love. He loves us, but God is also a God of righteousness. He cannot pass by us without punishing our sins. He punished our sin in Christ Jesus. He cursed his own Son there on the cross. And then we would be saved. And then we would be saved. And then we would have that faith. Remove mountains. A dead man had no faith. Only because God come upon us and speaks to us, speaks to these dry bones, dead souls, and then we are revived. We live, we receive a new life. We have this regeneration, and then we open our eyes, we see, And then we put our trust in Christ Jesus. We may not be as brilliant as all those philosophers, but we are so blessed. We hear this gospel, and we are saved. We are saved not by our own merits, not by our own good works, not by our own virtues, but by the grace of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Russell proclaimed why he couldn't believe in Christian faith. If I ask you why, you are a Christian today. I know the answer to myself. If you ask me why I am a Christian, not because I figure out, not because anyone persuaded me, only because I was blind. And then the Lord Jesus came to my life. I see. I was like that fig tree, lost, totally lost, not knowing where to go. And then I heard the preaching of Jesus' words. And then I was found in God's love. I was dead. I was withered. I was dried up like this poor tree. And then Jesus came into my life and showed me his grace, his mercy. And then I found life in him. If you ask what happened to me, I can't explain. No one can explain. But this is the true reality in our lives we cannot deny. This is the substance that we hoped for. Faith is the substance we hoped for. Jesus came into this world to give us a foundation of our faith because we are faithless, we cannot believe because we are dead. And then he died for us to give us a true evidence that God loves the world, that he gives his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. Will be saved. If you see yourself in this picture, you need to bow down before God. Confess your sin. Maybe your sins are like mountains. This God can move it. Because the scripture said, as far as the heaven above the earth, so great is the steadfast love, his steadfast love toward those who fear him. This God will remove the mountain of our sin and cast it into the depths of sin. This God is able to do that. When you feel confused, perplexed, when you could not understand the words from the Bible, have faith in God. Have faith in God. We may not always understand, but have faith in God. When we find ourselves in that hopeless, helpless, desperate situation, let us have faith in God. Have faith in God. And his word, his power will come upon us. And we will be blessed. And we will receive this new life. And we shall live out a brand new glorious life to bear fruit, to bring glory to him. To him alone be all the glory and honor. Amen.